Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus. Just going there for a thought. I want to speak to you on the subject, the divine interruption. The divine interruption. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15 for a thought. The divine interruption. I'll preach it a little bit differently than I've ever preached it before, because this is what God ordered for this church this morning. And then tonight, we're going into some prophecy. And we're living in perilous times. And if you've ever needed any hope, you need it this morning. And if we've ever needed God to touch us and give us the mind of Christ, it's today. Amen. But I came this morning not to hang crepe. I'm so proud of Sharon and David and Lisa and Jasper and Shirley and Pastor and all of you. Amen. None of us is as good as all of us. We all need each other. Amen. And my favorite verse of scripture in the Bible, while I have off my coat, is simply Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, "Wherefore I perceive that God is no respecter of person." That's my favorite. Now, you might have a different one. That's mine. I find out that when I'm low, it'll scrape me up off the floor, because I can just think, if you've ever got anybody else up, you're going to get me up. Because you're no respecter of persons. If I'm elevated up there floating around with the big head, he can deflate me about as quick as he can scrape me up. Amen. And I'll bust the ground. But he's no respecter of persons. If he's ever restored anybody else, he'll restore you. Glory be to God. He loves us. We've got a good God. Hallelujah. He ain't mad at you. He took his wrath out on his son. He treated his son as though he were you, so you can be treated as though you were him. Hallelujah. In Exodus, God does something that I've never seen him do before. Moses is praying, and I want you to read verse 15. Exodus 14 and 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Amen. He interrupts Moses while he's praying and says, "Moses, stop praying and start talking to the children of Israel. Tell them to get up and go forward." Hallelujah. We can grieve over the circumstances of the day all we want to, and it won't change a thing. Get up and go forward. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't know you was going to say all of that, Sharon, and you didn't know I was going to preach this. But thank you. It goes so good. Amen. She practiced what she preached. So does your pastor. So do you. We all are in a battle. Who ain't in a battle? What else is new? Hallelujah. He didn't promise you that you wouldn't have any battles. He set the scene for us. He had all kind of battles. I'm talking about Jesus. Amen. Listen to this. There's a time he was telling Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Why don't you stop praying," he's really saying, "and tell the children of Israel to go forward." Hallelujah. Now, I wrote myself a little note here. There's a time to bow our heads, and there's a time to move our feet. There's a time to meditate, and there's a time to march. Amen, Waltz. Hallelujah. I like one of George Wright's favorite sayings, "Let the devil jump off the bridge." I've heard him say it a multiplicity of times, and that's my sentiment exactly. Hey, if anybody's going to haul a calf rope, let it be the devil. Keep on going. Hell hadn't found a thing that can stop you if you'll just keep on going. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, somebody, and shout hallelujah. Praise God. Are you hearing what God is saying to you about your role in ministry? Are you really hearing it? When you get to the place that you can't hear God, read God. His voice is in the verse. I'm going to let that soak in just a little bit. Last time I was here, I preached, live your passion and accelerate your future. But now as I stand before you, and as we look around, all around us, our future has been accelerated for us. Things are beginning to really accelerate, prophetically speaking. Amen. We've got Sharon's sister working in our office for the past couple of years with Sharon. And she wanted a little time off last week to go to Perry Fred Stone Jr.'s camp meeting down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we gave her time off with pay. That's the kind of fella I am. And she went down there and brought back some wonderful information. Perry will tell you in a heartbeat that God allowed me to be one of his mentors. Would you believe one Saturday night when Perry Fred Stone Jr. was about 18 years old that he was so starchy and a black suit. I can see it right now. And he came up on the stage of our church because I invited him there. But I put a microphone in his hand and as God Almighty is my witness, very lovingly took my foot and pushed him off the stage and told him to preach. Now if I'm lying, I'm lying to the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. That's a true story before God. Then I began to prophesy to him. He wrote the prophecy down. Amen. And he says every so often he goes and reads that prophecy. He said it's right on, every detail of it. Y'all have heard him tell that, I guess, Jasper and Shirley. And he says that God used me to write out the details that he'd be facing in his life. That's nothing new for God. That's nothing new. Amen. Our Sunday school teacher was telling us this morning, Sister Peggy, that everybody's allowed to prophesy. That's exactly right. You can all prophesy. Make sure the utterance comes from God as much as lies within you. But there's a difference in everybody prophesying and somebody walking in the office of a prophet. There's a big difference. Amen. All of us don't walk in the office of a prophet, but we're all authorized to prophesy when the anointing shows up. Amen. Make sure it edifies somebody. Make sure it gives somebody some hope. Hallelujah. I don't know where this message is going this morning. I'm just going to obey God. But several weekends ago, Frank and Dallas were out in Bristol, Virginia, listening to John D. Couch preach one night, and I drove in. I wasn't expecting to get a night off. I wasn't. But so I just absolutely took a night because God spoke to me to go. It was while I was there, and John D. Couch got Dallas up to say a few words, got me up to say a few words, and John D. preached like the house was on fire, and the gift of the word of knowledge was operating through him that night in absolute elaborate detail perfection. Never heard anybody in my life any more right on and heavily anointed. John cried through the whole thing. Hallelujah. And I want you to know the presence of the Lord is heavy here this morning. If you'll put your antennas up, amen, put your right hand up, and I want you to make a declaration with me this morning. Say, Jesus, I believe you've forgiven me of all of my sins. And I want you to listen. And I want everybody else to listen to what I've got to say. Because it's right this moment that I forgive myself of everything. Now clap your hands and act like you believe it. Hallelujah. Go ahead and clap your hands. That's absolutely necessary that you forgive yourself. I said, it's absolutely necessary that you forgive yourself. I refuse to make for myself a hell today over the things that happened yesterday in my life. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I'll guarantee you there's a reason for it. God knows. It was at the meeting that after the meeting was over, I'm talking about John D. Couch's meeting, that a man and his wife walked up to me and said, are you the Jim Engel that used to preach in a school at Blacksburg? I said, as a matter of fact, I did start a church and a school at Blacksburg. I said, as far as I know, I'm the only man they ever let have a schoolhouse, especially back in those days. And they said, well, we live in Tennessee now, a man and his wife, tall man about that tall and his wife about like this. And they said, we live in Tennessee now, and we lived in Tennessee then. But said, we had an occasion to come to Blacksburg, and said it was on a Sunday night that I came in this schoolhouse, my wife and I. And said a man was there that had walked in with crutches. And said this man laid his crutches down at the end of the seat. And said God began to deal with me to tell that man. Said God spoke to me just definitely. Said, I want you to tell that man that if he'll get up and walk off and leave those crutches laying there, that he'll never have to pick them up again the longest day he lived. And he said, I didn't obey God. And he said, later on in the meeting, God spoke to me the second time. Said, if you'll tell that man that he should get up and leave those crutches laying there, said, if he'll do that, he'll never have to use them again the longest day he lives. He said, and I didn't do it. He said, about that time, you were up preaching then. You just had started your message and said, you stopped in your message and told that man, sir, I don't know you and you don't know me, but God said, tell you, if you'll get up and leave them crutches laying there and walk off and leave them laying, you'll never have to use them again the longest day you live. Said the Holy Ghost just swept that place. It said the man got up and walked off and left the crutches and said the Holy Ghost just came down and said, about that time you turned to my wife. Said, here she is. About that time you turned to my wife and told my wife, said, there's something very supernatural going on inside of your body. And God said to you, this time, you're not going to be disappointed. Said, that's all you said. Said, you turned around, went back to preaching. Said, we've got a 30-year-old son. Said, that was 30 years ago. Said, we've got a 30-year-old son that's the answer to your prophecy. Said, up until then, we could not have any children. Up until then, nothing was happening in our life as far as producing children. But said, my wife was with child within a matter of days, and we've got a 30-year-old son now. Hallelujah. Hey, listen. I might as well obey God now. I got a message. I flat got a message, and I'm not joking. But I want to obey God for just a minute. Unless you are willing to have some G-U-T-S, guts, God can deal with you and deal with you and deal with you and deal with you and deal with you, but it takes guts to get up and manifest what he's dealt with you to do. It takes guts to do it. You got to have the guts. He'll furnish the utterance. He'll furnish the word. He'll give you the scripture, but you got to have the guts enough to get up and do it. Amen. That's what he was telling Moses, tell the children of Israel. Moses, stop praying, stop whining, stop crying, and get up and tell the children of Israel to go forward. It was right after that that Moses took his rod and stretched it out over the sea, and the waters departed. A couple of verses down, and they walked over on dry ground. It was right after they come out the other side that a prophetess, the word prophetess is mentioned 8 books of the Bible, starting out with Miriam, the sister of Aaron. Amen. And Miriam picked up a timbrel That's a tambourine. And begin to beat the tambourine, and the ladies begin to follow her. Hallelujah. It was then that God spoke and told him, said, turn around and look at Pharaoh and his army. He said, the enemy that you're looking at, you will never have to see them again the longest day you live. Now, suppose Moses hadn't had the guts to tell the children, Moses stopped praying. Hallelujah. He said, there's a time to pray and there's a time to meditate, but there's a time to march. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It takes guts to obey God. Somebody clap your hands and shout hallelujah to the living Lamb of God. You got to obey God. We all pray. We all pray. But there's a verse in the scripture that I want you to listen at. It's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. And this is another one of my favorites in the scripture. Listen to this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, the word because is in that verse. Because as he is, talking about Jesus, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Want a companion scripture? As my Father hath sent me, not 80% as my Father hath sent me, not even 90% as my Father hath sent me, but as my Father hath sent me. Read it in John 20, 21. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And it means every single one of us, no exceptions. I ain't mad at nobody.